In order to understand the avoda of asar v'tayfas, what's the avoda of this day? Besides that we're not eating or drinking, what's the avoda? Kumva asay. What are we supposed to be thinking about, working on? We need to understand what is it that's unique about this day? What is it that's different about asar v'tayfas? I'm hoping that many of you have learned a little bit the sugi and halacha. I'll be very brief. We'll talk a little bit about halacha, and then a chiddush that I saw in the Maharsha, and I mentioned just now in the Chabura a few minutes ago. I mentioned just briefly. And then to try in a very simple way to understand. What should we try to be thinking about? What should we be working on today in Sarva Tevis? Shulchan Aruch in Tav Kuf Mem Tes. So there, Sif Aleph there, Shulchan Aruch tells us the din of Chayav Melesanes, B'Tisha B'Av, B'Shevasa B'Tamas, B'Gimel B'Tishrei, and B'Sarva Tevis, from the Dvarim HaRoyim She'iru B'Hem. That we chayav to fast on those days because of the tragedies, the calamities that took place on those days. And when one reads the Shulchan Aruch, when you learn the Shulchan Aruch, the impression that you might get is that Atan is a way of remembering or somehow empathizing with our ancestors from a time long ago. The Rambam in Hilchos Tainius and Perek Hei Halacha Beis tells us that the tzaymus, that the fast days are Medivei Kabbalah. Are Medivei Kabbalah from the Novi Zechariah and Perek Ches and Zechariah, Koyam HaHashem Tzavokos, Tzaym HaRevi, which is Shavuos HaBetamos, V'Tzaym HaChamishi, which is Tisha B'Av, V'Tzaym HaShvi, which is Tzom Gedalia, V'Tzaym HaAsiri, which is today Asar B'Tevis, The Navi tells us that these days of the Taniyos that we have, the progression of Taniyos that we have for the Churban Beis Hamikdash, that in the future, Mitzvah Shem, these days are going to be transformed to the days of Sosn and Simcha. They're going to be Yom Tovim. Is there anything different about Tzayim HaAsiri, about Asar B'Tevis? Again, I'm hoping that most of you are familiar with this basic yesod in halacha. The Navi Yecheskel, Perchav Dalet, Aleph to Beis, there the Navi says, V'yidva Hashem elai b'shona hatshiyas, that Hashem Shbach spoke to Yecheskel, spoke to me, b'shona hatshiyas, the ninth year, b'chodesh ha'asiri, the tenth month, b'asor l'chodesh, on the tenth day, which is Asar B'Tevis. Leimur, and Hashem Shbach said to me, Ben Adam, Ksav lachos shem hayayim. We don't find this by any of the other Taniyos. We hear the Navi is instructed to inscribe, to write this down as shem hayayim, as etzem hayayim hazeh, somach melech bovel el Yerushalayim. As etzem hayayim hazeh, and this very day, the king of Bovel surrounded, besieged Yerushalayim. The Mishnah Berurah brings down, really it's the Lashon of the Chayyadim. V'asar b'teves, shaboy somach melech bovel, Nebuchadnezzar harosha al Yerushalayim, v'heviya b'matzor uv'matzog. That Nebuchadnezzar brought Yerushalayim into a state of matzor, a siege, matzog. U'mizeh nimshach hachurban. And from that siege of Yerushalayim, eventually, the Churban would take place. It was the beginning of the end. It was the beginning of the end. This matzav of matzor and matzok, that Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, Yerushalayim, and each individual Jew, is in a state of matzor or matzok, is besieged. This matzav of Asar B'Teves continues. Since that day, it continues. Now, as I mentioned, we don't find that any of the other Taniyos are singled out in a pasuk, like we find with Asar B'Tavis and Yecheskel. And the Beis Yosef in Siman Tav Kuf Nun brings a very big chiddush from the Abadram. How many of you are familiar with this chiddush? You heard of the chiddush from the Abadram? It's a famous chiddush of the Abadram, where he says that there's a difference between Asar B'Tavis and the other fast days, because if Asar B'Tavis would be Chal B'Shabbos, it's beginning to sound more familiar. If Asar B'Tavis would fall out on Shabbos, so then we would not be able to be doicher, we would not be able to postpone the Tanis. Why is that, Chevra? Why is it? Because the Navi says about Asar B'Tavis the words Etzem Hayom Hazeh. She says Yom Kippur Degalosh. Etzem Hayom Hazeh. On this actual day, Hashem's Baruch went out of his way to pull the Navi Zechariah aside and said to him, listen, regarding this day, I want you to write this day down. Etzem Hayom Hazeh, on this actual day, Melech Nebuchadnezzar Rosh seized Yerushalayim. So because of that, the Abadram was machadish, a really an astonishing thing, that the same way by Yom Kippur, there's a din of Etzem Hayom Hazeh, that is Doich HaShabbos, so too, if Asar B'Tavis could fall out on Shabbos, it can't. If it could fall out on Shabbos, it would be Doich HaShabbos. The Beis Yosef reacts very clearly to that. And he writes, V'le'yadati minayin lo'izeh. I don't know where he got that from. I don't know where the Abadram got that. V'le'yadati minayin lo'izeh. Where did he get this from? And then the Beis Yosef continues to bring from the Abadram that Lamaisa, Asar B'Tavis does come out sometimes on an Erev Shabbos. You can remember that. The Asar B'Tavis comes out on a Friday on an Erev Shabbos. And we do fast on Erev Shabbos. That means that uncharacteristically, we enter into Shabbos in a state of being mu'unim, which is not by any stretch of the imagination, a typical hanhaga of Klal Yisrael when it comes to any of the other tanyas. We don't have such a thing. The fast going into Shabbos being mu'una, being in that state of tzayim, of fasting. The Achreinim have a hard time with this Abudram, the Beis Yosef. Seems to be rejecting it entirely, although he saw it as something which is kedai to quote. But the Achroinim, the Oesameach, Chassam Sofer, Minchas Chenech, Chaim Brisker, the Briskerov, many of the Achroinim do talk about this Abudram. The questions are very obvious. Number one, again, if this is Chazar for any of you, I apologize, but it's important in order to get to the Nakuda Pnimis. The questions are obvious. Number one, why is it that Asar B'Tavis is more chomer? Why is it stricter than other fast days? Even Tisha B'Av is not Doicha Shabbos. Number two, L'may Nafki Minah. What's the Nafki Minah? The Abudram himself says that we count by the Luach, and according to the Luach, it can never come out on Shabbos. It can't be on Shabbos. So L'may Nafki Minah. So what's the point? What's he trying to tell us? L'may Nafki Minah. Three. Bechlal, we have a hard time understanding how is it possible that Asar B'Tavis, which at best is Medivrei Kabbalah, that comes from Medivrei Nevi'im, that it should be able to be Doicha the Issur to fast on Shabbos. Keep in mind that, even though we don't have time to go into this now, even though Oynig Shabbos is also a pasuk in the Navi Yeshayah, the Kerosel Shabbos Oynig. However, many of the Rishonim and Achreinim understand that even though it has been Chazal attached it to a pasuk, Asmechinu, they were Samechet to this pasuk in Yeshayah, but the Shorish of Oynig Shabbos is a Deraisa. Without going into that lomdus right now, but the shorish of the mitzvah of oz tis'anig al Hashem, the keros l'shabbos oynig, is a deraisa. So what is the Abu Dram talking about? How could it be that a pasuk in Zechariah, that a din which is Medivrei Kabbalah, should be doiche a din deraisa of Oinig Shabbos? How could there be such a thing? So if we're to summarize, these are the following approaches that we find in Achrayim. Each one is fascinating, and each one is kulam ahum, kulam brum, and each one really deserves a separate shiur. But there are basically three mahalchim, and the Or Samech picks up on a certain technicality we'll get to in a second. But they're basically three mahalchim. The first is that Asar B'Tevis is the Eschalta de Pernus. It was the beginning of the end. And all beginnings are significant. All beginnings contain within them the shayrish, the root of everything that follows. There's a din that we find in Chazal, for instance, by the sukkah and how the person sitting in the sukkah. There's a din of gufa basa resha, that the guf follows the rosh. The rosh is koveya, how you start your day, how you start as a man, how you start your marriage. Gufa basa resha. The rosh is always koveya. The rosh always has a tremendous hashpah over the hemshach. So since Asar B'Tevis is the beginning of the end, really nobody was hurt, nobody was killed that day, but it was the beginning of the unraveling of Yerushalayim. It was the beginning of Golus. So there's a tzad chumra, there's a tzad chomor to all beginnings. Because all beginnings, the beginning always contains within it the entire hemshech. In the tamsis of what it is, it contains the whole hemshech of Chorb. So that's one mahalach to explain how could there even be such a havamina, even theoretically, that a servitor should be daicha Shabbos. The second mahalach is that only by a servitor do we find that the day is singled out. That here Hashem tells the Navi to write it down, etzem hayom hazeh. Reb Chaim Brisker explains that, Brisker Rav, that the other Tanesim, the other fast days, are known by the month that they fall in. The Tzoyim HaChamishi, and so on. Tzoyim Revi, Tzoyim HaChamishi. Only by Asar B'Tevis does Hashem as well tell the Navi to make it clear that there's a din in the Yom. There's a din in the Etzem HaYom HaZeh. And Reb Chaim builds up a beautiful lumdus to explain that due to that emphasis on Etzem Hayom Hazeh, the Abu Dram is Mechadish, that it's a din in that day, like Bismillah, like Yom Kippur, and there's no other day. It can't be postponed. There's no such thing as a nidche by a Asar B'Tevis. Okay, that's itself a chiddush. We're not going into it now, but that's the mahalach of the Brisker Rav and Reb Chaim Brisker. Then there's the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer, in a few places, explains that the uniqueness of a Asar B'Tevis lies in the fact that it's really more of a Yom Hadin. It's more of a preemptive Tanis. Whereas the other Taniyos are an expression of something that took place in the past. Since Asar B'Tevis was at the beginning, you know, it's connected to the first Teres. Since it's connected to the beginning, from that time of the first Asar B'Tevis, it's a Yom Hadin of what's going to be now as we move beyond the Asar B'Tevis. Will it be a continuation of Golus? Or will we pick up on what needs to be repaired? We'll talk about that in a few minutes. And will it be a time of Geula? The precedent for such a fast being Doicha Shabbos is a Tanis Cholam, is the Tanis that a person has because he's completely overwhelmed and terribly agitated by a dream that is not a good dream. Where, even though normally, of course, fasting is forbidden because of the din of Einig, but as the Gemara explains, in the case of a Tanis Cholam, by a Tanis Cholim is Oynig Hulo. There's an Oynig that he has, knowing that he's doing something to preempt the materialization of this terrible dream that he had. Not to do anything, not to fast, would cause him more Agmas Nefesh. He would not be able to have an Oynig Shabbos. So the Tanis itself, that he fasts for the Cholim, the Tanis Cholim is Oynig Hulo, because he knows that somehow through this Tanis of a Cholim, of a fast, he knows that it has tremendous power to be able to prevent the Tzara, that somehow the foreboding Tzara that is forecasted in the dream, not to happen. So it's an Oynig Hulo. So the Chassam Sefer makes it Tzushtel between Tanis Cholim. Really, it's a very beautiful idea. I spoke about it a little bit last year. All of Golis is Hayinu Kecholim. It's a bad dream. You and I are living Mamish in a bad dream. We happen to be in a better situation in a bad dream because we have what to eat and we have clothing and there's no pogrom going on as of now. And Baruch Hashem, life is much better for us than it was for our ancestors. But all of Golis is a Cholim. And it's not only a Cholim, Hayinu Kecholim. It's not only that we have bad memories of what happened to Am Yisrael in the past, but there's also foreboding things regarding the future. The forecast doesn't always look good as far as the future is concerned. Where do we go from here? So the Chassam Sofer uses a Tanis Cholim as a precedent, as a type of a Tanis that's Doicha Shabbos, and then he touches up all of Aser B'Teves. The Aser B'Teves has this mahus, this quality of a Tanis Cholim. It's really a very beautiful and very deep idea. That all of Golis is a Cholim, and we're davening to Hashem Yisbarach to wake up from the dream. And the Chabad Svarim, you know, that the Indian of a Cholim is that it's Noise HaFachim. A Cholim, what makes a Cholim particularly interesting and scary is that you could have in a Cholim such crazy opposites, like an elephant going through the eye of a needle, right? That's the expression of Chazal use. You have a big elephant and you have a tiny little eye of a needle. And somehow these two come together. So what's scary and what's exciting about a dream is that it's noisei shnei hafachim, that it's filled with contradictions. The nature of a dream is that it's filled with theories. And in the Chabad Sfarim, through all the Nesim of Chabad, all the way to the Rabbi Zchus Yerlenu, this is the major way of talking about Aser B'Teves, is that Golus is a Cholim because on the one hand, you and I believe in the Borei Olam, and we daven every day, but on the other hand, there are so many things in our lives that would seem to demonstrate that we don't really believe in Him. That's just one contradiction. The Helim, the Hester, together with our living with the belief that Shivis Hashem Nagdi Sabah, this confusion, this Hester upon Him, Hashem Hezbollah says, I love you. He told us in Tanakh, Ahavti Eschem. It's the last thing in Malachi. Hashem Hezbollah, Ahavti Eschem. Ves Esav Sanesi. And the Baruch Shalom says He loves us and He's going to take care of us. And yet there are so many things in this dream that we're living in that are soiser, that seem to contradict what Hashem's Baruch said about us. That if this would be any other family, it would probably be dysfunctional. It doesn't make sense. If all Hashem's Baruch said to us and about us and promised us, we don't understand. The dream is a dream that's filled with steers. And the Tanis of Aser B'Teves is a Tanis Cholim. Rosh Hashanah has a technical mahalach that since the fast of Aser B'Teves is not 24 hours, it's not Meis L'Eis, the only issa really midaraisa that there should be a tzom on that there should be a tzom on Shabbos is when it's being mevatal yom haShabbos, when it's altogether 24 hour tzom, when it's a bitl of einik Shabbos. On Aser B'Teves, if you eat Friday night, that's not the problem, right? So it's not mevatal yom haShabbos. There's a din that yom haShabbos cannot be a yom tzom. The fast of Aser B'Teves would not theoretically be mevatel the Yom HaShabbos. Wouldn't be mevatel Yom HaShabbos. All of that is Aleph. Now Beis is to try to understand Abu Dram, because again, Lahoyev Leinivra, Eveloyia. Not only is the Abu Dram talking about something that's not Lamaisa, it's not Lamaisa, But even in Mir Hashem will be zeicher to be mekadosh al pi hariyah. Even when we zeicher, when Mashiach comes to once again be mekadosh the chodesh with the edus, we're not going to have an asar b'tevus fall on asar. The date can fall on Shabbos, maybe because we're mekadosh al pi hariyah. But anyway, there's not going to be any issue of fasting on Shabbos because when Mashiach comes, we began with the Navi Zechar tells us that when Mashiach comes, the day of asar b'tevus will be a yom sasim simcha, will be a big yontif. So there can never be a fast. There can never be a Shabbos fast. A servitatus. Now the Rambam that you have in front of you, I would like to think that again, I'm assuming that you all are very familiar with it. You probably know, most of you know it almost by heart, or know it by heart. If I'm not going to sit on this Rambam, on these Rambams in the first parak of Tanias and in the fifth parak of Tanias, just very, very quickly, the Rambam defines the nature of all of our fast days, not Yom Kippur, but the Tanias of Peronius, of Tzaros. And he makes it very clear that the Inyan of a Tanis is not a commemoration, is not remembering. Of course, it involves remembering and knowing, but that's not the Tachlis. The Tachlis of a Tzom is one thing, which is tshuva. That by remembering what happened, and by recognizing that the cause of what of that the cause of the tzaros of the past has not been removed from our lives until we have uncovered the cause of the tzara and repaired the cause of the tzara, we fast. It's a tanis. V'dovez amidarchei tshuva. The Rambam defines a tanis as darchei tshuva. Shebizman shetovet tzara v'yizakulav yariyo yedu hakol shebiglal maasei meroim hurulham. The fast is telling us that something has gone wrong in our lives, in both the collective and individual life of Am Yisrael. Something is wrong in the past, and because of that, we have gone through tzaras, and we continue to go through tzaras. Kakosuv avneseichem hitu, and so on, that our avarus have led us astray. V'zehu sheyigrom lahosir hatzara me'aleihem. Remember, we used the words by the Chassam Sofer, preemptive. Is there a way for us to preempt the tzaras? That we should put an end to the tzaras? We could prevent the tzaras. So the Rambam is telling us, yes. The purpose, the underlying purpose of Atanas is not krechsing over what happened, but in a very practical way, uncovering, understanding the siba, the cause of the tzaras, repairing that cause, removing being mesalek, the cause of the tzara through our tshuva, and in doing so, we'll be able to be zeichet, that it should be a sasim b'simcha. And Halacha Gimel continues with this, and he says, I'm not going to read it inside, that if we don't scream, if we don't cry, if we don't daven, if we don't try to do tshuva, if we don't try to change our lives, and we just think that this is a mikra, you know, bad things happen. So then we are living a life of keri, which is a lashon tumah, which means ki'il chas Hashem ze mikra. Things happen, bad things happen. Bad things happen to Jews, bad things happen to Lahavdil, bad things happen to Syrians, bad things happen to Christians, bad things happen to people. So that's called a life of keri, atuma, mikra, ki'ilu. There are just political, social, economic forces that are in control. And Hashem Baruch told us in the Teichra that if you're going to be like that, if you're going to live a life with that mindset of keri, then I'm going to conduct our relationship in a way of Hamas carry with anger and leave you Chalila in a world which makes you very, very vulnerable to the tzaras that are taking place in the world, and you won't see my presence. It will seem to you more and more as if things just happen. If you think that way and you live that way, that's what's going to appear to you more and more. Ki'ilu, the world is Hefker and there's no Balabai, so the Balabai stepped away. Hamas carry. I brought tzaras upon you in order that you should think, you should change, you should try to repair what's damaged in your lives. Then you're in that vicious cycle, that vicious, terrible cycle of golus. Golus is a lashon, the Maral talks about this, Vasemis, the Ramchal, golus is a lashon of galgal. And you're stuck in a terrible wheel that's turning in golus, taking us further and further away from Yerushalayim. And therefore, in Perikei, the Rambam begins, Yesham Yomim Kol Yisrael Mesana Behem Bnei Atzarish Eru Behem Kedei Lo'ira Halavavus Liftorach Darchei Hatshuv. That's the Tachlis. Lo'ira Halavavus, to awaken the hearts, and Liftorach, to take us out of a way of carry, of that tumah, of living without an awareness of Hashgacha Pratis, living in that dream where we officially claim to be Ma'aminim, but our lives don't seem to bear that out, that we're really, really Ma'aminim, that we're really Ma'aminim. Because a person who's Be'emes Ma'amin, lives a certain kind of a life, and lives with a certain Simcha Sechai, and is very, very careful to be medactic in every single thing that he does in his life. Because he knows that the Rebbeinu Shlom is watching. Like the Ma'aseh of the Bedichshava, they say it from the Chavetz Chaim, which of course Chavetz Chaim could have happened, it's Tzadik Zon, but the Ma'aseh isn't much is way from way before. They say from the Bedichshava, they also say from Rebbeinu Shlom Sasseva. But the Ma'aseh is the same Ma'aseh, that the Tzadik was going with somebody who didn't know that it was a Tzadik, picked him up, he gave the Tzadik a lift, the Tzadik was hitchhiking, gave him a lift. And they're going someplace, and this guy, that's the driver, gets out of the wagon in the middle of nowhere by somebody's orchard, and says to the tzaddik, whether it's the Chavetz Chaim or Rabbi Moshe Leibsasov, or the slave, the wagon driver who's a Jew says to the tzaddik, "You stand guard. I'm going to get ourselves some lunch. Right? I'm going to go into the orchard and steal some fruit." He didn't say steal, but I'm going to liberate, I guess, some fruit, and you just stand watch. And if anybody's watching, you whistle at the top of your whistle. Lungs, whatever you do when you whistle hard, do your best. So of course you know the stories. The second the guy goes into the orchard, Kedushas Levi or Moshe Levi, the Chavetz Chaim starts to go crazy whistling, and a guy comes running out. What is it? Who is it? And he says, "Shivi Seshanegi Son, what's the matter?" The Baruch Shalom is watching. The Baruch Shalom is watching. Not just when you go into the orchard, but when you go to that website, the Baruch Shalom is watching. So there are many things that we do in our lives that seem to be a steer. It's a chalom, mamash a chalom. In a dream, you have such crazy things. You have stealing, but you're a mom, so how you go to the mikveh in the morning, then you go to work and you're playing games on the papers. It's a steers, all kinds of crazy steers. You look in the in the morning, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kenei, Shema Chad, Yichud Yilah, Baruch Shem Kavod, Yichud HaTatar. And then there's a girl, why are you saying Shema? There's a girl walking past the mechitza and her head sticking up a little bit, and you give a little bit of a look over there. That's also Yichud, but not the same Yichud, you understand? It's a different Yichud. But you're giving a look over there. It's a Havamina. We'll think about this after Kriya Shema, after Tachman. Such a steer, we're living in such a crazy steer. It's a cholam, man. A cholam. So the Baruch Shalom gave us, the Rambam is telling us, that the Tanya, these are days that were given to us. He says, and the point is to repair, to fix, to change. That's the whole point. That's the purpose of the Tanya. So we hear in this the Chassam Sofer, but we still don't hear Asar B'Tavis in this Rambam. The Rambam is talking about all Taniyos. What is it that's different about Asar B'Tavis? So I mentioned by the Shia, by Ramosha Tzvi Shia a few minutes ago, I mentioned that there's a Mahasha. I was very excited about this Mahasha. The Mahasha is going on the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Aleph. Remember, what the Rambam is telling us is that you must get to the sheresh of Tzara. You have to try to understand as best as we can, through Chazal's eyes and the tzaddikim, what is the sheresh of this? And once I get to the sheresh, I can try to cure it. If you don't know the sheresh, you're just treating symptoms, it comes back. So the tzara's come back. We're always treating the symptoms, but we're not getting to the sheresh. That's why we still have a serbatavis. Because we haven't gotten to the actual machla, to the shirish, to the root of this sickness that has brought the seeds of Yerushalayim upon us. We haven't gotten to the shirish of it. And therefore the symptoms keep on coming back, because we're only treating symptoms. What's the shirish? So the Gemara there in Rosh Hashanah tells us that Asara Ma'asos Nosa Hashchina, that the Shechina did not leave Yerushalayim suddenly. It's not clear exactly what the time span was, but the Shechina made 10 stops until finally it left Yerushalayim entirely. Now, that doesn't mean that God is not there, We're talking about the Shechina, HaKadosha, Hashem's presence, a feeling of Hashem's presence. That feeling of God being there, mamish, that feeling that we once had that God is everywhere, everywhere mamish, that feeling didn't happen suddenly. It happened in 10 stages. Everything that's a Kayama Shleim happens in 10, like the 10 spheres and so on. So it happened, there were 10 stops. The 10 stops the Sanhedrin made, as the Gemara tells us, corresponds to the 10 stops of the Shechina. That's not, you look in the Gemara, you see the whole story there. And the Gemara says that until finally, beginning its journey from the Kodesh Kodashim, finally the Shechina left Yerushalayim and went out to the Midbar and was waiting in the Midbar for 6 months to give us a chance to do tshuva. So the Masha on that Gemara, in the Chiddush HaGadol, the Masha makes a very simple cheshbon that that day that the Shechina left Yerushalayim was a Asara B'Tevis. Six months later was the ninth day of Tammuz, which, according to what it says in Navi, was when the wall of Yerushalayim was breached. This Indian of nine and Shivasa B'Tammuz, we're not going into right now, but you know that there's a steer between first bias and second bias. The ninth of Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz, we're not going into that right now. But if you make a simple cheshbon that the Shechina Kivyochel left Yerushalayim, packed her bags and left on Asara B'Tevis, 6 months later, the Maharsha says, was Tes Tammuz. Nivkaha Ha'ir. And that's when Yerushalayim was breached, where the wall was actually cracked. The rest, of course, led to Tisha B'Av and so on. So what the Maharsha is telling us is the following. It's a very, very elegant and very beautiful Chiddush. What the Maharsha is saying is this. What's unique about Asara B'Teves is that it is the day of Histalkus HaShechina MiYerushalayim. That means, until that time, even a Jew that was not particularly a big tzaddik, we know that the time of the Bais Rishon, the Gros said that there were Nevi'im, Nevi'is, it brings from Chazal, that there were, Chazal said there were Kiflaim, Miyotzi Mitzrayim, that every single person had like a cousin that was a Navi, you know, in the time of the first Bais. There was Nevi'is, there was Nevu'ah, the world was Mamish, I mean Yerushalayim, our world was filled with the light of Hashem. The Nevu'ah, Urim V'Tumim, Malchus, Mamish, was our lives, our world was pulsating with Oyra Yisbar, with Or Hashem. When did that end? It ended on Asara B'Tevis. Because the last stop of the Shechina leaving Yerushalayim, once the Shechina left Yerushalayim, until the Shechina was there, we were living in a state of Yerushalayim Harim Sovivlo Vashem Soviv La'amai. Like we say in the Nachem Mincha Tisha B'Av, we ask Hashem to be a Chomas Eish. Until Asara B'Teves, the wall of Yerushalayim was a Chomas Eish, was a wall of fire. Every single Jew felt the Shechina. There were Nisim Gluyim, there was Gilui Shechina Mamish, and every single person lived a life where he felt Shivisa Hashem Lenegdi Samet. How is it possible to sin Afal Pichin? That's a different discussion. But the Chet Egel was, we also sinned. But there was a Metzias of the presence of the Shechina in that unbelievably direct and clear way. When did the Shechina, the Maharsha explains, based upon this calendar of the 6 months, which he says, Tes Tammuz, Asara B'Teves till Tes Tammuz. So Asara B'Teves is the day, the Maharsha says, that changed. And you and I are still suffering from the confusion that because the Shechina left, instead of it being a Chaymas Eish, instead of it being Yerushalayim Harim Sovivla, Vashem Sovivla Amo, now we're living at a time where every mother who's walking in Yerushalayim or anywhere else in Eretz Yisrael has to look 10 times over her shoulder to see that some Yishmaeli is not coming after her with a knife or some truck is not trying to run her over. The Shmira, that feeling of being in Hashem's arms, of Hashem Soviv La'ama, Yerushalayim Harim Sovivlo, where the Chayma was a Chaymas Eish, that feeling ended Asara B'Teves. Since that time of that first Asara B'Teves, Am Yisrael is besieged. We're living in a state of Soviv Rishoyim Yishalech. that the Rishoyim are walking around Yerushalayim and looking for ways and opportunities to get in to Yerushalayim. That doesn't only mean physically to attack us, although that's true, but it means that you and I no longer have the security that our ancestors once had as Jews. We now become very fragile, we're very vulnerable in Golus. Every idea that comes from Yefes, that comes from Edom, any idea from the outside has this ability to somehow slither into our minds, into our hearts. There's no longer the wall of Yerushalayim has been compromised. The shmira of who we are. Because when a Jew doesn't live every second of his life in that reality of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit, then it means that the inner wall of who he is, that chayma, that wall, that barrier that separates between him and the outside world has been breached, has been compromised. And once it's been breached, once it's been compromised, so then it's just a matter of time till Chalila Tisha B'Av comes into your life. Tisha B'Av. Till the Churban happens. So now let's go back to the Abu Dram and let's put things together and finish up. According to this Maharsha, what's unique about Asar B'Tavis is that Asar B'Tavis can be defined as a hafka'a of the mitzias of Hashem Sovir Lama, of that feeling of Hashgacha Pratis, of that awareness of Shivisi Hashem Nevi Yisama, of Elokus, feeling, being memale and being soivev. Memale means in Yerushalayim, and the wall of Yerushalayim is soivev kalalman. That feeling of memale and soivev, of Elokus, ended, was compromised, was breached. When the Shekhinah left Yerushalayim, then all of the bacteria, the filth, the tumah of our enemies began to creep around. Sovir Rishoyim Yisaleicha. And the Shekhinah went out to the Midbar. That means that even though the actual Churban took place on Tisha B'Av, the neshama of the Churban is Asar B'Tavis. The destruction of the Eitzim V'Avonim, which is the expression that Chazal used, Shofach HaMosar El Eitzim V'Avonim, the actual physical destruction took place, of course, on Tisha B'Av. Shivasa B'Tammuz, there was a breakthrough, and then Tisha B'Av, there was a Churban. The physical Churban is Tisha B'Av. That's not Doich HaShabbos. Because the same way that the Nefesh HaChaim explains at the beginning in the first Shah, the Nefesh HaChaim explains that the damage that takes place in a Jew when there's filth on his mind, when he brings idolatry, when he brings Avodah Zarah into his consciousness, is infinitely greater than the damage that was done by Titus or by Nebuchadnezzar, who only destroyed the physical structure of Yerushalayim, of the Beis HaMikdash. But when you and I bring the filth of the outside world into our Yerushalayim, when Melech Bovel, the king of confusion, Bilbul, when that enters into our lives and we're no longer certain of Hashem's love, we no longer feel the Hashgacha Pratis, the Churban that happens when you actually fall apart, that's Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the physical Churban. That's not Doich HaShabbos, the Tanis of Tisha B'Av. The Shoresh of Tisha B'Av. When did we become vulnerable? When did we become Jews who were no longer surrounded by that wall of certainty? When did we become Jews who could easily collapse? When did we become Jews that because something bad happened, now I don't know if I can continue putting on film tomorrow morning? When did we become such people? When did that begin? When did the neshama of Yerushalayim leave? Asar B'Tavis. The goof of Yerushalayim was destroyed Tisha B'Av. That's why Rabbi said, you know, the halacha, according to halacha, ain't binyan beis hamikdash doich HaShabbos. That's a Gemara in Yevam, it's in the first parak. Binyan beis hamikdash is not doich HaShabbos. The walls, the building, the stones, the eitzim levonim, that's not doich HaShabbos. Tisha B'Av is not doich HaShabbos. Tisha B'Av is mourning the eitzim levonim. It's the eventuality of destruction. That's not doich HaShabbos, such a tanis. That's already the end of the parasha. But the avoida of the tmidim and the musafim, that is doich HaShabbos, right? We do the avoida in the beis hamikdash on Shabbos. That's Doich HaShabbos. Because the neshama of the Beis HaMikdash is higher than Shabbos. The neshama is Kodesh Kadosh. It's higher than Shabbos. It's Doich HaShabbos. How is it possible that Asar B'Tavis could theoretically be Doich HaShabbos? And Abu Dram goes out of it like to say that you should know. Asar B'Tavis is such a day, such an unbelievable day, that it could be Doich HaShabbos. But my nafkamin, it's not Doich HaShabbos. But why did we need to know that? Because we need to know that the neshama of the Churban, the histalkus of the Shekhinah, that moment that you and I lost that certainty that we had when we were little children, that God is everywhere, up, right, left, round, all around, Uncle Moshe, you know? When we no longer held anymore from that Uncle Moshe, or Uncle Moshe became something that requires some sophisticated pshat, you need to learn the Malbman, Uncle Moshe, you need to learn the Radak and the Metzudas and the Abarbanel, what's the pshat and the Uncle Moshe? Ever since that day that we don't understand Uncle Moshe just as pshat, right, left, up, down, all around, and we're not swimming in Elokus, ever since that day, everything has been unclear. You know, when the Kotzke went back to Tomaszów, he went back, he was born in Tomaszów, in Poland. He became the biggest rabbi, the biggest tzaddik. All the tzaddikim were talmidim of the Kotzke. And when he came back to his hometown, after many years not being in Tomaszów, so there was a huge kabbalah upon him, the whole city came out in their Shabbos clothing to greet, this is the hometown boy, they made it good, right? The Kotzke came back to Tomaszów. So everybody's out there in their Shabbos clothing, and there was all kinds of vying for position. Where was the Kotzke going to stay? Where was he going to spend Shabbos? So that was so the rich people of the town, the Gvirim are always, you know, they always have their nazis upon them. Not always, but mostly they have a nazis upon them. So the Gvirim, there was one Gvirim in particular, the richest guy in town, who had a beautiful house in Tomaszów. So the assumption was that the Kotzke was going to, the Rebbe was going to stay by him. It's obvious that the Rebbe is going to stay by him. The Kotzke, you know, could not bear anything that's not 100% honest. The Kotzke said, when, he's not staying there. He's staying by his first great Rebbe. He went to his Malamed, and he kissed his Malamed's hand. You can imagine how this Malamed felt. It was a little Malamed, you know, Totem Olive base. And there's the Kotzke. The Malamed's an old man. The Kotzke's still in his prime. And the Kotzke kisses his Malamed's hand and says, Rebbe, could I stay by you for Shabbos? And the Rebbe was, he had a little hut, you know. He was very taken aback. And the Gevir was very insulted. The richest guy in town with the mansion was very angry. And he asked, we know Gevir, and he asked, not everyone, most. And he asked the Kotzke, how is it possible that you went to this, you know, this Lo Yusuf, the Malamed? So the Kotzke said to him, whatever, Rabbi Yanka, listen to me. You have a beautiful home, and I appreciate the invitation. He said, in my life, Kotzke said, I've been learning a lot of Gemara, a lot of Yishayim, and I've been thinking about a lot of stuff. The only thing that's absolutely 1,000,000% clear to me is what I learned with this Jew when he taught me Olive Base. Ever since then, I've been having a lot of struggles, as he said. So I wanted to spend Shabbos in that place that was that memory that I have before there were any sveikas, at a time in my life when everything was the way that it was clear, it was pure. That's the Shabbos that I want to spend in Tamashav. The tefillah of Asar B'Tevis is, Rabbi Shalom, help us get back to that place before you made it so hard for us to believe in you. Help us get back to that time when we were children and it was clear. Help us get back to that time before the Shekhinah went out into the desert. The cure of Asar B'Tevis is Shivisa Hashem L'Negdi Samen. The cure of Asar B'Tevis is not found in philosophy. It's not found in any fancy philosophical speculation. The cure of Asar B'Tevis is found in Shivisa Hashem L'Negdi Samen. Right, left, all around. Up, down, all around. That's the cure. Attaching ourselves in the simplest way to our belief that we all grew up with, and that we mechazik ourselves in the simplest way, like a child. Like the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh told this big lamdan, that Hashgacha, the inyan of my emunah is the feeling that I had when I was in my mother's arms. That's what emunah is to me. You could say over Rambams and Reb Sadi Gaon's from Heintes Morgan, it's not going to get you to cry over Kippur Tum the way that our grandmothers did. Our grandmothers lived inside Yerushalayim. We were on the outside. The siege that makes our lives so bitter and causes us to have such confusion is because from that time of our lives, where the Shekhinah is not with us, we don't feel the Shekhinah with us in the clearest way. We don't feel it, but we're in a state of ani, bagola, they were in golas. From that time on, everything's been unclear. We're longing to get back to our malamed, to get back to cheder. Hashem Yisbarach should bring us back to cheder. Kodesh Kodashim is called the cheder. Heviani HaMelech Chadorev. Hashem should bring us back to his room with the Gula Shev HaMitas. Amen.